Hello, hello, hello. Welcome into the show. My name is Dan Hafner. Thank you very much for joining wherever you are watching or listening to this show. So this is a brand new show that I'm getting ready to, I'm actually launching now. Been looking forward to this for some time. It's been a while since I've been in the podcast game and been in the content creation game at this level. So I'm really, really excited for it. So I'm just going to go through a little bit about what this show is going to cover, what we're going to dive into, what it's going to be about, and why you should continue to tune in. I believe you should continue to tune in at least. So again, my name is Dan Hafner. I am a business owner, a mobile app and software development developer, owner, agency owner, all that stuff. So I specifically work with small businesses, entrepreneurs, to really kind of build their ideas, build their mobile applications, their web applications, to bring them to life. And we do this mainly through the use of what's called no-code or low-code technology. So if you've never heard of that, we'll get much more into that in future episodes. But if you are familiar with that, that maybe you can kind of wrap your head around kind of what it is, you know, that I actually do and help bring to life for people. So I have been doing this since about 2017, 2018 or so. Just started it as a hobby, kind of grew into a freelancing role, and then eventually turned it into a business. And I decided to turn this into a show because I kind of wanted to do something. To be honest, I might do another show around politics or, you know, culture or something of that matter, because I could talk about that kind of stuff all day. I do have a degree in political science after all. But I think it's also relevant. Technology is a relevant topic in today's day and age, right? It really is. I mean, think about everything that's gone on in 2023 with just AI. Like, if you just look at that specific topic, it's changing the world. Like, it's changing our lives. It's changing our everyday functions. If you've never used anything like a ChatGPT, I highly suggest you have. I was under the impression that just about everyone did, and then I run into people who don't even know what it is yet, which I can't believe. You literally must be living under a rock at this point. But it's truly amazing. Like, it's truly incredible what all of this stuff is doing to the world. And it's interesting because we're in this age and this place of AI and of the technology space, call it, where there are some, I mean, look at like what Elon's doing with Twitter. Like, there are some other considerations. There are more than just like, so as a developer, you think, how do I build this? How do I make this into something that's actually useful for somebody or monetize this, right? But there's also ethical considerations. There's political considerations. There's cultural considerations. There's a bunch of different things that can go into the topic of technology. Think about the gathering of data back when everyone found out that, you know, all of this data was being siphoned off. And it was like, hey, if the product's free, you're the product, right? It's, you know, something like a Facebook, like a Google, those types of things. So that's relevant. I mean, it's led to laws being passed, you know, the GDPR compliance, all these different things. So it's worth thinking about. It's worth critically analyzing and considering and going through some relevant news stories and updates that are happening, because I feel like it is a very important thing in our world to stay up to date with, and that we all actually engage in a conversation, critical thought around, because it's going to not only, it's not slowing down anytime soon, and it's going to continue to affect our lives, all of our lives, moving forward for many, many, many years to come, right, and including future generations. So overall, the purpose of this show is to have that conversation, is to talk about all these different things. There are quite a bit of a variety of topic things I'm going to plan on talking about, whether I have guests on here, whether we talk about AI, whether we talk about applications, whether we talk about, you know, Internet of Things, we talk about ethical considerations, talk about case studies, entrepreneurship, business, all these different types of things. So that's really what I hope to accomplish in doing this show. So whether you are listening now on on any of your podcast apps. You can listen to this anywhere you get your podcasts as well. But we'll also be streaming this on Facebook, on YouTube, and hopefully, I think, on Twitter eventually. And we're also planning on having this as a Spotify video cast. I believe they do all kinds of video podcasts now. So that's a really exciting thing as well. That is pretty much what all of this is going to be about. So with all that said, let's dive in to the first topic. So today, I just wanted to, again, kind of dive a little bit more into the state of where we are. You know, at the time I'm recording this, it's just about to start the fourth quarter of 2023. And it's been quite a year. It's been, as far as a, you know, from a technological perspective, from a technology industry perspective, again, you can't really talk about 2023 without talking about AI, right? I think we all remember, if you're watching the show at least, you probably remember all of the wave that happened when ChatGPT took the world by storm. It was at the time, I think, probably the biggest story that was just, it was just absolutely talked about. It was more around the beginning of the year of 2023. I mean, it took things by storm. It literally changed the landscape of things, I think forever, but also it was such an interesting phenomenon to observe, to see how it all went through. It's truly incredible, because it was really at the time, I think Facebook Threads or whatever that app is took over as like the most successful, the most downloaded app, you know, in a short time frame. I can't exactly remember, I'll have to look that up, but at the time, ChatGPT had been like the most successfully launched application like ever, like the fastest adopters to 1 million users or 5 million users or whatever it was. And it was really incredible. And there's so much that can be learned from a product launch like that, that's specifically inside of the software world. And that's, again, that was just another reason why I was cheering them on the whole way. And I could see it, because it was so cool to witness something and just kind of have that, like, wow, like there's another example of market validation, where if you produce a software product that is actually usable and produces a really, really cool result for people, like once you have the right marketing behind it, it can blow up. Like software is one of the, if not the best business model that I've ever seen. That's why I'm in the software game. It's why I have my own SaaS products and companies and things like that, because it truly is an infinitely scalable game. Like when you think about a local business, like a lawn mowing business, for example, you know, those businesses are great. I'm not putting anyone down if they have any of those, but there's a cap, right? I remember I worked with a landscaper as a kid, and there's a cap on the amount of money you can get. You can build different teams and you can hire more people and you can grow and grow and grow and grow. But there always is going to be some upper level. Like there's always going to be a certain level where you can't maintain anymore, you can't scale anymore, you've done all you can do, and it just becomes a giant business, right? But even if you want to stay at a small level, you're capped. You can only have so many hours in the day, you can only pay so many people, you can only take on so many clients, and that's really what it is. And you can make a very comfortable living doing that. The thing with software is that you remove those barriers. You can literally do business with anyone around the world at any time of the day. So you're completely time free, right? Like you're not working from 9 to 5 or, you know, 8 to 4 or whatever it is. Like your service is there all the time for use. And you can also bring on clients all the time. It doesn't have to be there to answer the phone or do anything like that. Obviously, if you're in business, you probably know the benefits of software and stuff. But you know, for those of you maybe have never considered having your own software product, I would really have you reconsider. Because once I stumbled onto this game, it was game over for me. I was like, why would I want to spend time building anything else or doing anything else? Because there's just so much, there's so much potential in this. And there's so many, there's no upper level. Like there's no upper limit to that. You can literally grow as big or stay as small as you want. That's the beauty of it. Now you do have to be good at marketing and selling and online sales and doing all these things in order to do that. But that limit is just no longer there, right? And it's crazy to think about still when I look up different statistics and different trends of the world. I think COVID changed a lot of things with, you know, in the last couple of years. Because I think COVID really exposed a lot of businesses were kind of behind the eight ball when it came to technology, and especially restaurants that weren't using delivery apps or DoorDash or Grubhub or anything like that. But there was a lot of businesses that really realized that they were behind, and they got on that train and they started to adopt technology, started to go online, put more effort and resources into their online presence, their online sales processes, all that type of stuff, online ordering. But it still kind of boggles my mind that there are still so many businesses out there that are behind the eight ball when it comes to technology. Either they have a crappy website, or they don't have any kind of sales funnel, or they're not running any kind of advertisements. I think a lot of people think it's really expensive to do and it's really time consuming. You have to be tech savvy and you have to know all these things. And yes, you do to an extent, but you'd be surprised at how little of that you actually need to have expertise in to get something off the ground. I'm a perfect example of this. I use myself as case study number one. When I first started, I came from I had a political science background, went to a liberal arts school, kind of went into kind of a weird career trajectory path. But then eventually I got into a job of tech support. Like I was a help desk person, right? And at the time I had literally almost no knowledge of computers, how they worked. I knew kind of how to do Word documents and online email. And like, that was about it, right? But I learned very, very quickly. And I learned in massive ways by just immersing myself in it. And I went on to become, you know, software tester, worked with, you know, actual developers side by side, building things and building applications I was a contractor for the Army actually for a while. And it taught me a lot, but I also realized that there's so much to learn that you have to specialize in that, but you also don't have to know a whole lot to get started, right? So coming back to as a business owner, trying to implement some kind of new technology system in your business, trying to build a SaaS application, bring in some kind of recurring revenue, or just even fix your systems, make it so it's easier for people to order from you online, or it's easier for people to book an appointment with you online. You don't just have to rely on phone calls or messages through your website or inquiries through your website, because not everyone does that anymore. People want things now. Like, people need to have things quickly, and there's a huge market out there. I'll talk to you about that in a little bit, but I mean, I also, when I went down this path of like, okay, I want to build software, I want to build applications, I want to get into this game, I ran into very, very like rough problems, because I was like, okay, I don't know any of this. Like, I don't know how to code. I don't have the time to learn it. I tried learning some of it. I tried learning, you know, coding languages and going to different school, taking classes online, all that kind of stuff. And go ahead and try those. Like, it's rough. Like, if you didn't go to school in it and you didn't learn it like early, it's like learning a whole new language. It's a lot to learn. And as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as someone trying to go out there into the world, you probably don't have time to do that. So the next piece comes, hey, let's hire someone who knows how to do this. But developers, we are pretty expensive. That's how the world works, right? So that's where I came into this world of no-code technology, because I found, okay, I don't need to know how to code. I don't need to know all these programming languages. But on the other hand, I don't have to have tons of money to start. Like I said, at the time I was working as a help desk guy, wasn't making a whole lot of money, and realized like, okay, I have this application I want to build. I got quotes for it from agencies, from developers. It was going to be like six figures. Like, they were talking $100,000, $150,000 just to build this application. It was a running and fitness application. I was like blown away. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That is absolutely insane. Like, get out of here. There's no way, right? I was able to build it and launch it for, I'd have to go back and look at my receipts, but it was probably under $1,000, maybe under 500. I mean, it was truly not that much money when I look back on it. You can get started in this game not in a not too expensive way. You really can. It's amazing. And that's important. That's a really important thing that I think is that people need to realize is that you don't have to have startup funding. Like all these people, there's so much hype out there. There's so much noise out there about all these people that go out and get funding for their idea, raise these things, you know, raise these huge valuations, these huge checks, and they cut checks from investors and all that stuff. And that's great. Like if you're in a place where you can do that and you want to do that, more power to you. I tried that game, didn't really work out for me. But I also stopped doing it before I got too far down the rabbit hole, because I also realized that I didn't want to be married to those investors. I didn't want to be beholden to them in the ways that when they do write you a check and they eventually have equity in your company or in your product, that you're no longer, for those of us who are our own business, we started this thing from a seed, we started it from our own money. That's important. Like that's what keeps it your personality. It's what keeps it your baby, right? And you eventually want to take it to another place and to other levels. But when you have outside investment come in, you don't need to do that. You don't need to have $1 million come in before you even, like, when I think about Twitter, when I think about what Elon Musk paid for Twitter, it's like, it almost, like, I can't even wrap my head around it. Like, Twitter was not a profitable company. Like, it was losing money, hemorrhaging money. And he bought it for $44 billion with a B. Now, that's a private purchase. It's not like startup funding, anything like that. That's a different story. But it just, it really goes to show you the immense money and the immense influence, the immense leverage that comes with these platforms, that comes with having something that's infinitely scalable. I mean, look, they've already rebranded Twitter to be X now, and they're doing their own things. And that just comes with the perks of owning the company. Like if, when you pay $44 billion for something, you should be able to rename it. You should be able to do what you want with it. I mean, that's such a, holy man. Like that is such a hefty check. It's like unbelievable. You should be able to do whatever the heck you want with that company when you spend that kind of money. But I digress. So, but it's relevant for all of us out there in the business world to realize that, like, you have to stay relevant with the technology trends, with the ongoing things, the next thing out there, because you'll become irrelevant. And ChatGPT is a perfect example of this. I mean, there's people I know, myself included, who, you know, didn't quite jump on the bandwagon right away, but really saw the potential of it. The more I've used it, the more I've leveraged it for my business, for my clients, the more I'm just like, if you don't use this, you're falling behind. You're actually really, really falling behind. Because so many people, there's like this white page or blank page syndrome, right? You look at a blank page, you don't know how to write sales copy, or you don't know what to do for your next ad, or you don't know, a headline for something. Like, I'm notoriously bad at this kind of stuff. So ChatGPT is my best friend when it comes to that. Hey, it's input feeding. It's learning how to prompt the software to give it, it's like junk in, junk out, right? If you learn to actually prompt it to say, hey, I need this specific thing, you can get outputs that are really, really useful and really good. And then you can move fast. You can move faster, right? You don't have to sit there staring at a page thinking about, hey, what am I going to do for this? How am I going to make this work? Blah, 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 right? Like, you have to learn to stay relevant, and you have to learn to use these things in order to stay relevant, because I promise you, your competition is probably already using this, if not thinking about it, or they've been using it for a long time and you're just now realizing it, right? I mean, do what you want, it's your business, but, you know, I'm just saying, like, to stay relevant, learning technology, especially, and I'm going to talk to you more about the no code type of stuff. jumping on into the world of technology and software and all this stuff, you got to stay relevant because you got to keep making money. You got to keep producing new things for people. We as the consumer, we want new things. We want fresh things, right? So anyway, get back to that in a second. Now, are you a small business owner, you yourself, tired of juggling 37 different apps just to send one email to your customers? I mean, have you ever thought like, there's got to be an easier way to do this? Well, there just might be. Okay. You know, what am I going to say? Okay. I'm introducing to you this product called Launchpad. Okay. It's an all-in-one business and marketing software that does all of these things: emails, software, automations, calendars, conversations, the whole shebang. So you don't have to. You can simplify your business world into one delightful, organized place. You can manage your emails, your clients, your sales, maybe even your sanity, all from one platform. And hey, you might even free up enough time to learn a new hobby, like synchronized swimming or something. All right, are you ready to dive in? See what I did there? Visit www.launchpadproject.net and give your business the leap it deserves. Who knows? Maybe by the time we make Launchpad 2, it'll even brew your coffee for you too. Who knows? Just kidding. So go to www.launchpadproject.net and get started today. Okay, chapter number 2. Facebook. I was trying to come up with a little bit better of a title on the fly there when I saw my notes. But Facebook, things like not just Facebook, Twitter, or I'm sorry, X, TikTok, you know, all of these things. There's a huge landscape change and normalcy change in all of these, in all of these platforms, when I think it's, and this might turn into a little bit of a cultural conversation. I hope I don't devolve too far into that. But it's really, really interesting. If you've watched, like, I remember when Facebook first came out and I first signed up for it, and I get in, you know, memories on it now from like my first post. And I was like, why did I post these things? I probably should take some of these down. But it's incredible when you really think about we as people, my wife even said it the other day, like she gets a lot of her information from Facebook. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's probably not a good thing. You should probably watch at least some sort of news, whether, I don't care what news channel it is, just probably not get all of your news from Facebook. I mean, I think we all remember the election of 2016 when there was all of this rampant misinformation type of stuff. And all these people were talking about, oh my gosh, this and that and the other thing. And I'm not trying to take any sides here, but it really is a thing because there is, you see it all the time in episodes of like true crime, right? Somebody comes out and they're like, hey, this guy killed his girlfriend, or the Johnny Depp thing recently, all these types of things. There is a court of public opinion now, and you see it all the time. Things go viral very, very quickly. And it's almost like we as the social media warriors, the keyboard warriors are making decisions and giving verdicts to people or things before it's even like decided in a court of law, or before it's even brought to be anything that could be decided in a court of public opinion, right? Or I'm sorry, in a legal court is what I meant to say. So, I mean, that's super interesting. And I think, honestly, I think as we go and, you know, especially when you have elections coming up next year and all this type of stuff, I'm really interested to see kind of what happens with, you know, the X space, honestly, with Elon doing some things. I know he did a recent story with or an interview with Ben Shapiro where they talked about like the openness of it and the free speech piece of it. And I haven't watched it, honestly. I can't comment on it. But it's really interesting when you think about this topic of free speech and how people get it confused, right? Because, I mean, honestly, the First Amendment is free speech against the government. It's not meant to be free speech. Like, you don't have the right to free speech on anything. I really don't think so. But it's just, you know, we're all so opinionated. We all, like the comment, like they say, never read the comments. It can be true sometimes because people can just comment absolutely crazy things and hateful things. And it's just amazing. But on the other side, social media can be such a good force for good in this world. So, you know, I really think there's a market out there for people, like companies, to create social, you know, platforms that are more specific based. You know, Facebook tends to kind of just be anything and everything. TikTok tends to just be anything and everything. Just, I don't even have TikTok on my phone anymore. Honestly, I thought about getting into that game, decided it was just not. I mean, when they, so I used to be a government contractor. And when the government comes out and is like, no, you can't have these devices on your phone at all, that's a pretty clear sign to me that, like, that's probably not something good to have. I personally, as a general rule in my life, in the experiences I've been through, I'm very, very, very small government type of guy. Very, like, if the government screws up more things than it's ever gotten right. So I inherently have learned to distrust anything that the media or government says. That's just my opinion on things. But there's also security things that are very, very advanced. And from what I've seen inside of my time with there, like, they know what they're talking about in terms of stuff like that, at least. So when they say, hey, you're not allowed to have these on your government devices, it's like, yeah, probably shouldn't have TikTok. That's crazy. And I saw a story recently that they actually said that the algorithm from TikTok it's actually different in China than it is in America. I can't really verify any of this for you, but it's just interesting to think about that, you know, in America, they're constantly feeding more just stupid, silly things. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm as guilty as the next guy when it, like, the guilty pleasure of Facebook Reels. I'll scroll through those things for a half hour sometimes and be like, crap, like, where did my life go? Because sometimes it's a good mental break. It's just, you get some laughs in there, you get some interesting things in there. You know, you see the latest conspiracy theory, what's going on. You're like, okay, I need to get back to work. So I'm as guilty as the next guy when it comes to that. Don't get me wrong. But it's also, this story, they said that in China, they block a lot of that stuff. Like, it's meant to be constructive things and educational things. Like, see, that's incredible. Like, so I used to, actually, on this show, if you're listening on the podcast, like, the show I originally started was called Run Your Day. And I talk a lot about business and motivation on there, right? And in a lot of things that I learned as I went through that process, and I'm relearning all the time, you know, what you fill in your mind and what you put in your heart is eventually what comes out of your mouth, right? We are a product of our environment at some level. Right? We are influenced by other people around us. We're influenced by what we see, by what we hear, by what we experience. That's just the truth of the world. That's the reality of the world. We are, right? Now, there's other factors to that, and I'm not trying to get into that discussion, but what I am saying is that if you're constantly consuming just dumb stuff, like, you're not going to have thoughts of higher analytics or thoughts of higher purpose. Right? I've noticed that in myself. If there's a time or a day where I spend too much time scrolling through Reels or scrolling through Facebook or doing whatever, I do find that I'm less happy. Like, I am. I'm not as motivated. I'm not as active. I don't want to do as many things. I'm not thinking critically, right? It really is. I'd be really interested to hear if any of you in the audience, like, actually have experience with that, from, like, a psychological perspective or, like, a chemical perspective. You know what I mean? Because there's so much dopamine being released in your brain as you're scrolling through that, that, you know, nothing else kind of really works at that level. So, I mean, it's really interesting. And I wanted to talk about all this on this pilot episode too, because, I mean, I really think it's one of the biggest kind of topics of our time. Like, I think when I listened to another show where he talked about one of the biggest stories of his time, he says, in his opinion, was, you know, all this information that came out about the government, you know, working with Twitter back when it was Twitter to, you know, suppress different things when it came to COVID and the election and different things like that. Because that is really a free speech violation. That's a very interesting ethical conversation that more people should be engaging in and thinking about critically, you know, because regardless of what side you're on, regardless of what opinion you have on things, you know, should you have the right to say it? Should you have the right to go onto a platform that someone else built and say whatever you say. Like we as Americans specifically, I think we all just come built in with this entitlement complex that it just, we just do. Sorry. If, I mean, like it's very true. I think especially my generation, I'm a millennial. You know, I think we just do. And that's super interesting because, you know, let's say, for example, you go build a platform, you build a Facebook lookalike or a TikTok lookalike, right? Great. So now I join it and then I start expressing an opinion about something. I express opinion about Joe Biden or Donald Trump or whoever, right? And you don't particularly like it. Now, should you be able to silence me? Should you be able to block me? Should you be able to ban me from that application? Right. You might think, yeah, it's mine. I built it. I own it. Like it's my stuff. I have the right to it. I have the right for what anyone says on that. That's interesting. You know, you might also think, well, no, you have the freedom of speech wherever. Like, can you come into my home and just do anything you want and say anything you want? No. Right. I'll not allow that. If I'm here, right, I'll kindly ask you to leave. If things get out of hand, then it'll get a little bit escalated and escalated and escalated till we end up fighting, right? That's just the natural progression of things. So it just kind of becomes the same thing when it comes to online. It was just that we don't think about it that way because it's not a physical thing. It's not a physical space, right? So this is an interesting thing to think about, an interesting, you know, dynamic. I'm looking for guests to bring on to talk about this in more detail. But it really, really is interesting. Like should companies have the right to silence people or to suppress information? Right? Because there's a difference between I could say something that is blatantly false, or I could say something that's just my opinion, right? Like there's degrees of difference here, right? Because just because I say something, you might think it's false, but it's true to me and it's true to other people who agree with me. And it might not be, is it factually false or true, or is it opinionly, is that a word? Is it, you know, is as an opinion, is it, you know, because I could say something like Joe Biden is a great president or Donald Trump was a great president. It's not a fact, either one of those. Like it's an opinion because just based in that's an opinion of things, right? But I might tweet Donald Trump was a great president and that could get blocked, that could get suppressed just because it's an opinion. That's really, really interesting, right? So anyway, I think as we go on, there are there's really opportunities for people in this space to, and honestly, I kind of see it devolving into multiple things. It's not just, and it already has, you know, there's things like Truth Social, there's other, you know, platforms, Rumble, or is it called Rumble, that are out there where people are leaving and gathering in other places, right? And I think, honestly, I think that will just continue to proliferate. And it's actually kind of interesting, too, to think about how we might not all even be using the same internet eventually. Like there's talk around Amazon about, I've heard about that, where they're actually building their own internet of sorts, right? Where like that's truly incredible. I mean, that's a complete separation of domains in there where when we all log on to, you know, the internet, we're all on the same internet. But, you know, when there's a whole different internet out there, there's, you know, I mean, there's obviously like the dark web, there's all these different things as well. But that's an interesting concept too, because that not only, that creates an entirely different market, that creates an entirely different sphere of influence, of opportunity, not only inside of a marketing perspective, but also inside of a monetization, you know, advertising world. I just think that that's a really, really interesting concept as well when it comes to things, and it's worth thinking about. Okay, another break for our sponsors. So Are you a podcaster? Maybe you're listening to this show on the podcast. Maybe you're not just watching my beautiful face on here. If you're listening on the podcast, you should check us out on YouTube. So have you ever accidentally, you know, uploaded something, accidentally deleted it, mixed up your audio, or realized like midway through the recording that you're interviewing, you know, your dog instead of your guest? I mean, no, not just me. Okay. All right, moving on. So interesting, introducing podcast SOP. It's really awesome. It's truly incredible. It's not just another bad diet. It's not just another hip, you know, new dance move. Nope. It's like, it's the software that we as podcasters have secretly been crying out for our entire life. It's a tool for podcasters like you and me who sometimes or frequently need a bit more order amongst the chaos. Now, with Podcast SOP, you can manage and produce all of your episodes without breaking a sweat, or, you know, at least minimizing the sweating just under your headphones. It streamlines the process, reduces those oops, I did it again moments, and may even save you from the occasional unplanned interview. So you wanting to take your podcasting from winging it to winning it, visit podcastsop.com. And hey, if you do end up podcasting about dogs, at least now it'll be on purpose. I use this software. It's to produce this show, this podcast, everything that I do inside of here. It's truly awesome. So check it out, podcastsop.com. All right, next story and final chapter here as we wrap up the show today. There is a site that I follow a lot. It's called businessofapps.com. It's really incredible when it comes to anything. If you're interested in mobile applications, the app store market, even just the technology market in general, there is a story here that was dropped yesterday. Mobile spending hits 100 billion milestone in early Q3. That's incredible. Like that. So what that means is that over the since January 1st of 2023, now by the end of the third quarter, the amount of money that has been spent inside of mobile applications has exceeded $100 billion. It's the first time that's ever happened through the third quarter. The average right now in 2023 is about $33 billion per quarter, right? That adds up to $100 billion. It's absolutely nuts. I mean, it was a little bit sluggish last year. But you know, this is like, again, this is the first time it's reached $100 billion by the third quarter of the year. For context in that, it took until October to reach this milestone in both 21 and 2022 in December in 2020. So basically it's been hitting 100 million every single year, but it's also been hitting that later and later in the year. So spending is truly, truly up this year in 2023. It's really crazy. So let's see, iOS maintained its position as the leading platform for consumer spending, raking in a substantial $21.2 billion, while Google Play generated $12.4 billion. That's just in Q3. Absolutely crazy. For those of you who aren't familiar with this or might not have this, Your subscriptions, if you do end up having an application, you're going to make probably more money through the iOS store. You know, you might get less downloads, but you'll also make more money. iOS users tend to be more affluent people. Google Play, a lot of people, not that they're cheapskates, but they spend a lot of money, obviously, but it's a little bit less. You're going to get higher downloads. More people have those devices. They just spend less relatively as compared to iOS users. So this is really crazy. So, but this is actually really interesting too. So the iOS spend as of Q2, it was only up 1% from Q2 to Q3 of $21.2 billion. That was a 1% increase. Now the Google Play Store, in comparison, went up from about 11, it looks like 10.5 billion to 12, almost 12.5, 12.4 billion, which was a 10% increase. Over one quarter. That's nuts. I mean, that's a 10% increase in one single quarter. I mean, geez, that's wild. So I've talked about this in other episodes, and we have a new thing coming here I'll tell you more about. But the opportunity, I mean, I said that to just kind of highlight the opportunity for any of you who are still here listening. You know, it's a wild market. It's a crazy big market out there. There's look at the lion's share of this. It's such an incredible opportunity to monetize. That's why I love it. That's why it's just one of the most exciting industries that you could possibly be in. It really, really is. What else was I going to say about that? Here it is. So the Threads app, again, it's dominating. So yeah, here we go. Threads made an astonishing debut in early July by achieving a staggering 150 million downloads in its first week. 150 million downloads in its first week. Think about that, people. This achievement sets a new record as Threads reached this milestone 5.5 times faster than any other app in history. Five times faster. That's wild. I mean, just earlier this year, ChatGPT had broken that record. I think TikTok had taken it from Facebook, I believe. They held it for a while. And then ChatGPT came along and broke that record. And now Threads with it, like, that's what's, it's crazy. I mean, these things are happening so fast. It's absolutely wild. Threads, TikTok. Yeah. In the US, accounts for 30% of global Q3 consumer spending. I mean, that's absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. So, you know, I mean, when you look at the top apps in the app store, it's social networks. So if you're out there thinking about having a social network app, now's the time to do it. Okay. Here's actually another story I wanted to talk about there. We'll leave that where it is. We can talk about that a little bit later. So this is incredible. So 65, again, this is from Business of Apps, 65% of companies increased their mobile ad budgets over the last quarter. Over the last year, I'm sorry. That's crazy. So 65% of companies are increasing their mobile ad budgets. It's on a steady rise. So this is a lot of this data is from the UK, actually. UK-based firms increased their mobile performance ad budgets by almost 26% of the global average. Notably, performance marketing claimed a lion's share at 45.7% in 2023, surpassing brand marketing at 41.4%. This shift underscores the widely recognized importance of performance marketing in driving sales and profits. So what does this say? Companies are realizing the shift that's happening, and they're moving away from traditional marketing methods, moving into mobile marketing and advertising channels. That's important. I mean, that's a lot. That's a big, big shift. I mean, we've all kind of known, obviously, that there's been, you know, more traffic towards a mobile friendly experience rather than a laptop based experience. But, you know, this truly underscores it. I mean, you got to go where the people are. You got to go where, you know, I have Facebook up on mine, right? I have it up there on my laptop and my desktop, but I also use it more on my phone. It's just there's more optimization there. There's more opportunity there. So that's exciting to see. That's exciting to see. Interestingly, a significant 58.2% of marketers believe that performance marketing is more effective for driving revenue growth compared to traditional brand marketing methods. Furthermore, 55.5% of marketers consider performance marketing as the key to achieving profitability, especially in uncertain economic times. This sentiment is even more prevalent in the UK, where an impressive 68.6% of them believe it. So what is that saying? So marketers out there, agencies out there who are tasked with growing company revenue, growing company reach and impressions, this performance marketing stuff is where they're seeing the traditional. It's the ROAS, they call it, the return on ad spend. This is where this is working. So what is the top criteria? Machine learning and AI. We come back to this time and time again, right? The top criteria for choosing a mobile app performance marketing solution is advanced machine learning. Across the globe, marketers are finding that advanced machine learning / AI technology takes precedence, with a substantial 37% of them selecting it as the paramount factor from a list of 10 possible considerations. Closely behind were factors such as global reach, preference, high quality user acquisition at 18.1%. So people are using machine learning. People are using AI. Like that's what the stats tell you right there. 37%. You know, they're using that. They're focusing on that. They're doubling down on that product that has been created right there. I mean, that tells you a lot. I mean, if you're not really taking advantage of that, again, I don't want to say you're falling behind, but hey, you know, do what you want, do what you want. So yeah, performance marketing claims 45.7% of the mobile ads budget, exceeding brand marketing at 41.4%. It's crazy. So, all right. So as the last and final piece of this, I just want to talk a little bit more about, let's go back kind of to the social platform stuff. I hope those stats kind of helped. I hope they weren't just kind of thrown in there because it felt like they were kind of thrown in there a little bit. But those were two stories that I wanted to highlight for this week, because I mean, those are crazy. $100 billion in a year. I mean, it'll probably hit 135, 140 billion by the end of the year. And this is Q4. So if you don't have any kind of, you know, Black Friday mobile advertising thing in place, now's the time to think about that. Or, you know, if you want to kind of implement some kind of online ordering system or anything like that, now's the time to be doing that. It's starting to be Q4 here. I mean, this is the time to get on top of this and start taking advantage of this. Okay. So, yes. So the interesting piece about where we're going inside of technology, inside of this world of constantly changing ways that people do business, they advertise, they purchase things online. I mean, think about how many subscriptions do you have that are done through your app store, through your Google Play, right? You probably don't have a ton, maybe you do, but you probably have several and you probably forget about them sometimes. They recharge you after like a year or something like that, which is fun. But it's a truly, you know, we want things fast. We want things easy. We want things to be, as a consumer, I'm saying, to be accessible to us. And, you know, software and applications are what allows that channel to be fulfilled, right? So so if you're out there and you're thinking, okay, how do I take advantage of this in my business? So I truly want to sell more online, or I want to, you know, move my advertising from local advertising or Google ads to more of like, how do I advertise in an app? How do I advertise in something like that where these eyeballs actually are? It's a very good question. So there's a lot of different ways out there. Obviously, Facebook ads are you know, right there, you know, TikTok ads. There's probably Threads ads now. I'm not even on that app yet. I haven't even gone on there to see how all that works. But there are so many, I probably won't promote one or anything on here, maybe eventually, but there's a lot of different companies out there that can help you with this, that can walk you through this. We can put together a list for you. But there's a lot of them out there who will walk you through how to actually get this strategy out there, put it out there into the world, and be able to, you know, think about, okay, where would your target audience be? What types of apps would they be using? Would they be in Facebook? Would they be in TikTok? Would they be in something like Snapchat, possibly? Snapchat still, like, that's such an incredible story. I might actually do a case study episode on Snapchat. That is such a durable and successful model that it's truly amazing when you actually look at how they started and how it's grown, but how it stayed relevant. Like, I always kind of thought Snapchat would just kind of go away, but it doesn't, man. Like, that is an actual incredible case study. And I'd actually like to cover that. We might actually do that because there's a lot that can be learned there. It's a little bit, you know, obviously it's a lot different of a story than like a ChatGPT, which is probably another application we'll probably do a case study on. because they just grew so fast, so quickly, and just created, and they didn't even have a mobile app to start with. They just were online, right? It was openai.com. So it's truly, truly incredible. So that is a little bit of the pilot episode of the new show. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that, you know, if you are someone who's interested in maybe coming on as a guest, if you are someone who, you know, has information, or, you know, maybe you just have opinions on all the different things I talked about with social media or how all of this different stuff is working. I'd love to have you on the show. I'd love to have open and honest conversation about this. I don't want this show to be something that's super strict or super, you know, just one-sided in anything. I'm someone who likes to, I'm very down the middle with a lot of things. I like I'm an over-analytical person. I really am. So when it comes to looking at things openly, you know, making kind of detached judgments from things and kind of giving a bunch of different people votes. Like, I love to have people on here who actually have different opinions than me, because it creates that friction of, well, you know, maybe I should think about this a little bit differently. But it also, it's really, really good. I love shows like that, not just for the marketing around it, but also for the content, for the ability to just kind of have that open and honest conversation. Because I really think not only as you know, inside of the technology space where there's a lot of difference, there's a lot of, you know, clashing things, there's a lot of things going on inside of our space, inside of, you know, America as well. Just being able to have conversations with different people with different opinions who believe different things, it's good. It's a good thing to have. And it's what's going to help move us forward and think through a lot of these issues, because there's a lot of considerations. We didn't even talk about how AI is putting a lot of people out of work, how it's like upending so many different industries that people didn't think it would. People thought it would put blue collar workers out of work first. It's actually putting a lot of so-called white collar workers, like freelancers and designers and developers, like out of work, because it's democratized this access to all of this information and ability to create things that was never available before. So that's a really interesting consideration to have. Like, should we allow these things to put people out of business? Is it really going to do that? Is it still the human touch that's needed in certain types of things? Is it ethical to do this? Should you be, you know, are the people who are actually building these things, should they be, are they working themselves out of a job? Should they be compensated correctly? Should they be sanctioned in some ways? Like, it's an interesting conversations to have. And that's kind of the goal of what I want to bring here, is to not be afraid to ask these questions. They might be stupid questions. They might not be stupid questions. They might lead to stupid answers. They might lead to really good, interesting answers that we can put out there into the world and get people to think about, because it really is. I think that, you know, when it comes to information, when it comes to technology, even the powers that be, right, are realizing that the levers are there to be able to pull and manipulate and do things with it. And we as consumers need to be able to differentiate between good news and bad news, between good products and bad products, to be able to have the free market ability to choose what we prefer and what we want to consume, what we want to have. Okay. So if you're interested in joining the show or coming on as a guest, I would love to have you on. You can always email or click the link below in the show notes here, and we'll get you all taken care of there. So that is a wrap of this show. Really appreciate you joining. Thank you very much. Hope to see you on the next one. I'll see you there.